Bibles today, if you have them, to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, we're going to be reviewing Mary and her life and her contribution to the Christmas story. We all, of course, feel like we know Mary pretty well. Well, maybe we can come up with a couple of things that we haven't seen before. Let me read again, I think, is the message that the portion that we read earlier. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. Mary was probably about 15. She was engaged. She was betrothed. In the King James, that translated espoused, but that causes a little bit of confusion. It means betrothed, engaged, to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered, wondered, worried, what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus," or Jehovah Saves. "He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "Now, how in the world can this be?" That's my translation there. "Since I do not know a man," in the sense that Adam knew Eve. "I have not had physical relations with anyone. I am a virgin." Verse 35, "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born shall be called the Son of God.' Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for who is called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her, and Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts and minds this morning through his word. Heavenly Father, we do lift up ourselves that are here and those that are listening on the radio, whether they're traveling or at home. We pray, Heavenly Father, help us to understand all that is here for us in these words. We know that your Holy Spirit can open the Bible to us and open us to the Bible. We pray, Heavenly Father, that might happen. Heavenly Father, help us to appreciate this girl and to appreciate her commitment, her wisdom, and her desire to be used by you, that we may do likewise. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now you have in your bulletin this morning, you have Mary's Magnificat, I guess. I don't know how people pronounce that. It comes, of course, from the second word of "My soul magnifies the Lord." But let's understand where the Magnificat comes from. This was surely a blessed announcement. The Messiah that people have waited for at least 4,000 years, I say at least 4,000 years, depending on how long ago you placed the Garden of Eden, is about to be born. Messiah who will pay for everyone's sin. Messiah who will bring them all back to God's side. You know, the last time we were with God, we were kicked out in shame because we had sinned. Now he's going to bring us back to God's side. Messiah, who will fulfill all the prophecies of Isaiah and Ezekiel and Zechariah and Daniel and David. Messiah, who will exalt Israel among the nations. Messiah, who will be God. Mary had to, of course, be a virgin because Jesus could only have one human parent. He had to be born of God or he could not pay for our sin. We have lots of people born of two people, and we're all sinners. We can't pay for anybody's sin, only our own. On the other hand, he had to be human so that he could join us and could pay for our sin. Mary had to be a virgin so that he could be God's son, and she had to be a virgin so that he could be her son only. And so this, of course, meant that she must be a virgin. It was just about then that Mary noticed a problem with the agenda. At some point, probably very early in her thinking, she thought about how awful this was going to be. She is a virgin. She is not married. She is engaged. And she is going to be pregnant, obviously pregnant, without a husband. What's she going to say to her parents? Well, I'm still a virgin. It's just, you know, that God's doing this amazing thing in my life. And will her parents believe her? Will her parents wonder? You know, there have been thousands, if not millions, of parents whose daughters had to go to them and say, there's this weird thing happened. I didn't know anybody. I didn't have a boyfriend. But, you know, my boyfriend and I didn't do anything, but I'm still pregnant. I had one a friend who was an E-unit nurse, and she would have girls coming in saying, I don't even know how this happened. I never, you know, had relations with anybody. Her parents are going to be upset. Her fiancé is going to be upset as he finds out that she is with child and it's not with him. The other girls in town will be talking about her. The boys in town will be talking about her. The guy down the street will be talking about her. The grandma ladies down the street will be talking about her. Now, God did help by sending the angel to Joseph, but he couldn't do that for everybody. He only did it for Joseph, so that she would have one friend who said, maybe she is pure. Maybe she is spotless in this. Maybe God is doing an amazing thing in her life. But everybody else in the world doubted her. What is she going to do? She can just look into the future and see a million problems. What is she going to do? Well, she's compared her problems to what God has said he wants to do in her life, and she comes up with a Magnificat. You see in Luke chapter 1, verse 46, and if you like to, you can use your own Bible, or you can read out of the insert in your bulletin. And Mary said, my soul resents the Lord for the problems I'm going to have. No. You and I do that. You and I resent the Lord when he gives us problems. Mary, or allows us to have problems. He doesn't always make our problems. Sometimes he just lets us cause our own problems. Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. Mary was not sinless. She needed a Savior. Now we'll see that she was a wonderful girl. But she was born in sin and needed a Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. Here she is, born in Nazareth. and you know, not a wealthy area, not wealthy parents, and you know, she's a youper, okay? And she's not even a youper from Marquette or Escanaba. She's a youper from a little stinky city nobody even knows about. There are some cities up there that you don't even, that no one has ever seen or heard of. I remember I lived up there for a while and loved the area, and I was asked to go call on somebody, so I did, and couldn't find them. They weren't in the phone book. They had no address. Oh, you got to go down this road and go and take a left and go down that road, and then way back here in the hills was this little location, as they called them, this little city of 200 people, and you'd never know it was there, you know, never find it. Well, that's who Mary is. He has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant, and though I am nothing and not important, he is going to use me. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. Not just to me, but for me. And holy is his name. I know that I can trust him. I know that he's going to stand by me. I know that this is not a joke, and he's not going to giggle while I have struggles, because he's holy. I can depend on him. And his mercy is on those that fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary remained with her for about 3 months, because she needed a friend, and Elizabeth was another person who believed in her yet. For 3 months she prayed, probably fasted, and prepared her heart for the ministry that she was about to undertake. Well, if you look at this handout that you have, then I wanted you to catch something, and I put in the references. My soul magnifies the Lord, Habakkuk 3:18 is what she quoted. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, Isaiah 45 is what she quoted. Henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. 1 Samuel 1:11, Psalm 138:6, she quoted by memory. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, Psalm 111:9. His mercy is on those that fear him, Exodus 34, verses 6 through 7. From generation to generation, Psalm 103:17. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts, Psalm 98:1. He has exalted the lowly, 1 Samuel 2:7 through 8. He's filled the hungry with good things, Isaiah 41. The rich he has sent away empty, Ezekiel 27. He has helped his servant Israel, as he promised to Abraham and his seed forever, Genesis 12. Here she goes. She's got about a 60-mile walk. And they didn't have cars in them days. And perhaps she had something she could ride. Try riding a burro for 67 miles, eh? But she lives in Nazareth, north in Galilee, and Elizabeth lives in Judea, we're told. We're not told where, but Jerusalem is one of the northern cities in Judea. It's at least 60 miles to where Elizabeth lives. And so she has time then, and as she walks down that road, she thinks of all these passages that she's memorized and thought about and made part of her thinking. And by the time she gets to Elizabeth, she is ready then to speak, not to read, but to speak the Magnificat. She knew her Bible. At 15 years old, she could quote from a dozen different books, and with understanding, because she didn't just have the Bible memorized, she understood her Bible. She had enjoyed her Bible. She had found God in her Bible. She was a prophet. We don't normally think of Mary as a prophet, but she did prophesy. This is not just the ramblings of a girl. This is a prophecy about Jesus. As Daniel and Jeremiah knew their Bible and understood it and loved it and knew God within it and spoke for God, she did that. God was using her as a prophet. But notice that most of her prophecy does not make any sense until the cross. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud and the imagination of their hearts. What's going to happen to the leaders of Israel once the resurrection happens? Once the church has begun, Annas and Caiaphas will have nothing to do with any of this wonderful stuff that's happening. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has exalted which lowly people? Oh, the fishermen. Oh, the tax collectors, oh, the zealots, oh, the prostitutes. He has exalted the lowly, not until the cross, not until the resurrection, not until the church has begun. He has filled the hungry with good things. Oh, there is a resurrection. Oh, I can trust the Father. But the rich he has sent away empty. Annas, you have the booths of the sons of Annas. You buy and sell at the temple. You make millions of dollars, Annas, but you have nothing in Jesus. Caiaphas, you've sold your soul to be powerful, but you have nothing in Jesus. Well, I want us to understand that Jesus said, "It is finished." And what he meant when he said that, of course, was that all of our sin is paid for, but also that his work on earth is done. Now it is the Father's turn. And for 3 days, Jesus rests in paradise. He doesn't have to, walk anywhere, and he doesn't have to argue with anybody, and his ministry is over. And the Father gives the world 3 days to think about what has just happened. And you know, timing is everything when you do stuff. Whether you're telling a joke, whether you're creating a church or whatever, starting a business, timing is everything. God gave the world 3 days to think about what they had done and what they had seen and what they had heard. And then he raised Jesus from the dead. I want you to understand what prophets were, and that'll tell us what Mary was. Prophets were God's friends. And what do I mean by that? They listened to God. They knew his truth and knew him. They spoke the truth and relayed his grace to people, his desire to forgive them. Prophets were God's friends. But the prophets were also one step above friends. They were partners with God. Partners work together, rely on each other, trust each other, forgive each other. I remember working in Grand Rapids in a little factory, and one of the guys was technical, one of the guys was business, and they put together a pretty good business, and they made a lot of money, made a ton of money. They hated each other dearly, and they fought every day. And finally, one of them said to the other, "You know, we had such a good year last year. I'm going to borrow, amazing amount of money and buy you out." And the other guy said, "No, I'm going to buy you out. No, I'm going to buy you out." And they fought over it, and finally one guy bought the other out, and then they had terrible problems all year. None of the customers liked any of the stuff that they did for him. It was just awful. I felt for poor Bill every day. Hey, it's a terrible thing to watch. But partners who are friends enjoy each other and know the other's shortcomings. And they rub off on each other. Now, Mary and the Father became partners the moment that she said yes. And she understood what this was going to be for her. She understood how hard it was going to be. But she knows that she's not doing it alone. She knows that this is God's mission, God's passion, and God's plan. That he cares about it more than she does, and she cares passionately about it. There's going to be a lot of danger, of course, of Herod and the Romans and the leaders of the Jews. There's 1,000 things for her to fear if she got started on that. Hey, you know, we tend to worry about things, and she has a lot to worry about, doesn't she? What's Joseph going to say? Will he ever forgive her? How are they going to spend the holidays with the family? Who in her family is not going to bring up to her, well, you were pregnant when you got married? Will she always be thought of as the black sheep of the family, though she is the godliest person in the world? Will she always be thought of as a hypocrite by her own family? Not just her mom and dad, but her brothers and her sisters and her cousins? Will she always have to put up with that? If everybody decides that Mary and Joseph are persona non grata because of her supposed sin, what if everybody quits coming to Joseph for business? Remember that Joseph got to Bethlehem late, that he probably knew for months ahead of time that he was going to have to go to Bethlehem for the registration, and they got there late. She's 6 months pregnant, and they don't leave. She's 7 months pregnant, and they don't leave. She's 8 months pregnant, and they don't leave. What's Joseph doing? I think he's working to pay the bills because people don't look on him with favor. People don't think much of his wife. And Mary is the one that has to put up with that. She has to deal with her shame every day. She doesn't deserve it, but it's been put on her. I remember one time I was in college, and a girlfriend and I broke up, and I heard the next day that she had gone into the girls' dorm and told everybody what a rotten, terrible, awful thing I had done to her, which gave me some concern, because in that girls' dorm are all the girls that I want to get a wife out of, you know? I'm looking for a wife there at college, and now all the girls on campus have been told that I'm a wretch. Well, that's kind of scary. It's very discouraging. Not my fault. Didn't treat her terribly. Just broke up. But what are you going to do when shame is put on you that you don't deserve? You just grin and bear it. You just live through it. I've had some awful things said about me that had no shred of truth in them. What do? You just grin and bear it. You just live through it. That's all she can do. But she does it, as all of us have to, knowing that God is her partner, that he has her back, that he is holy, that she can trust him, that he does know what's going on, that he knew all this was going to happen to begin with before he ever asked her. And he still asked her because he trusted her, and he valued her, and he honored her. There was no other way. It has to be a virgin. There has to be shame involved, or a lot of people believing the word of God, believing that she's from God. All these, it's impossible. It had to be this way. And so she said, my soul does magnify the Lord. It's all right. It's okay. So I want you to understand now, when Jesus said, it is finished, he said, my part of this is done. I'm going to go rest in paradise a while. And then it's time for the Father. And the Father took over and raised Jesus from the dead. What happened the moment he raised Jesus from the dead? Oh, a lot of wonderful stuff happened. We'll talk about that later. But I'll tell you one thing that happened. Mary is vindicated. all of a sudden, her son is the Son of God to many people. Many people believe, oh yeah, he was man, but he was God. She had said this boy was God's, and now it's proven. She said this boy came from heaven, and now he's gone back to heaven. She said she was pure, and this proves it. She said that she loved the Lord, and this proves it. She was God's servant serving him. There in the Magnificat again, let's see here. The second stanza there. For he has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. That was not true until the resurrection. The resurrection did many amazing things, but one of the things that it did for Jesus' mother was to vindicate everything that she had said. And to vindicate her for going through all of this shame. Now, I want you to realize that God wants all of us to partner with him that way. To accept the mission that he has for us to change our world that we live in. Now, the moment I say that, we agree with Mary. Why would I want to? We have the same thought that Mary had at first. Why would I want to do that? That sounds hard. But when your child needs help, are you going to write him a check? Are you going to have some wise counsel for him? Which is better? I grew up in the area, and my grandfather was the sexton of the cemetery here. And one night, some boys snuck into the cemetery and pushed a bunch of tombstones over, just having a lark. And so the trial comes, and you know, and they go before the judge, and their parents say, "Here, judge, I've got a check for all the damage." Is that what those boys needed? Not what they needed. That's not what they got. My grandfather said, "Well, I'm not going to accept it. I don't want it. I don't want to send them a bit of money." "Well, what do you want?" "I want those boys to come work the cemetery for a summer. And I want them to get to know us as people. I want them to get to understand what that cemetery is for the people of this community." Do your children just need a check, or do they need wisdom from you? Do they need direction from you? Do they need you to be God's partner? Do they need you to be able to say to them who God is and what God thinks and what he wants and how he acts? They, your children, your friends, your neighbors, your grandchildren, need you to know the Bible. And to know the God of the Bible so that he can minister to them through you. That's why Mary said yes. She didn't say yes for an adventure. She understood the horrors that she was going to go through. She said yes so that she and God could help the whole world make a difference. She said yes so that the Son of God could be born. Why did God ask Mary? Any woman can have a child. Why did he ask Mary? Because he didn't want her just merely to be a body and have a baby. He wants her to raise a baby. He wanted a wise woman who would raise that baby. He wanted someone who thought like he did to raise that baby. He wanted Mary to show that little boy how to love and how to stand for truth. Jesus had a tough life. You know, he had critics all of his life, and he was slandered all of his life. Remember that the Pharisees said to him, "Say we not well that you're a Samaritan? That your mom had an affair with a Samaritan?" He was slandered all of his life. He was called demon-possessed all of his life, all of his ministry. He had enemies that were trying to kill him all of his ministry. But guys, he'd already seen his parents deal with all of that stuff. He'd seen his mother slandered and how she handled it. He'd seen his dad and family, they're having to flee to Egypt because the Herod wants to kill him and how they handled it. He'd seen his dad go to work every day, although he had people that thought he wasn't much and people that cheated him in business. He watched his dad, Joseph, every day handling adversity and handling enemies and people that didn't think much of him. God wanted a partner. So he went to Mary. And he went to Joseph. You and I can be that partner. That's why he called you to be a Christian. Not merely so you could make it to heaven and not go to hell. He called you a Christian so you could be his friend and more, so that you could be his partner in the great mission that he has for you. I don't know what your mission is. I suspect that many of us here have the mission of raising our children to be godly, strong, intelligent kids and people. Many of us also have the mission, though, of encouraging our spouse. Many of us don't have a spouse or children, and he's called us to encourage the friends and people around us. But that is the mission that he has for you. He won't do it without you because he needs a partner. He could have done all the things that he's done the last several thousand years without anybody. He's never done anything without anybody. He wants to do it with a partner, with you. Or he wouldn't have called you to be a Christian. But all this wonderful partnership with God begins by becoming his child. You need to say, I do sin, and I don't like it. I hate my sin, and I give it up. I need a Savior. God, forgive me. Make me your child. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you that you care enough about the whole world to send us out into it. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you care enough about us to call us to great ministry, to exciting adventures, to sometimes even a little bit of a danger maybe, but then to see your provision, your care. Heavenly Father, call us to your side. Don't let us sit and contemplate our neighbors. Heavenly Father, help us to want to do great things. Help us to see the need of the children, the adults, the people, the friends, the neighbors around us. That we might be used by you. As Mary was, as Joseph was, as Jesus was. We pray this in Christ's name.